Ladies and gentlemen, let's continue. I must apologize that I had to interrupt such a lively discussion before, but as I said, if the coffee break is longer, then the discussion time we have for this session is shorter. Now I have the honor to pass the floor to Sigmar Su, who will tell us about how CAP will help the national and European agriculture to become competitive. The floor is yours.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sigmar Su. I work at the Ministry of Agriculture in Rural Development Department, and over the past 6 to 12 months, we've been actively preparing for the new program period. We still have a lot to do, and the possibilities to improve the competitiveness of agriculture is a very topical issue for us at the moment. We have our own vision for it, but I still don't have ready-made solutions to present to you. However, I will be giving a brief overview of what we are talking about when we speak about agriculture and what we should think about when we want to improve competitiveness. I hope that the solutions will come from the discussions. When we speak about the agricultural sector, then we are speaking about an industrial sector that provides 2% of the Estonian GDP, a sector that employs 19,000 people, and the wages are about 75% of the Estonian average. We have over 19,000 agricultural holdings, and our main areas of activity are cereals, milk, and mixed farming. And one of the larger sub categories is meat production. We have relatively large agricultural holdings. The average size of a farm is 47.6 hectares. It isn't a very large number, but if you consider that most of agriculture is in the hands of larger entrepreneurs, then the actual farm sizes are even bigger. But this is the average figure. Let's look at how agriculture feeds us. I have some figures regarding our self-sufficiency, self-supply levels. The levels in milk, pig meat, and beef are good. We have production left over for export. Not in poultry, though, and not in horticulture. And surprisingly enough, despite the fact that we consider ourselves a nation whose staple food is potato, we don't produce that much potato. Does competitive agriculture mean that we are growing everything that the country needs? Or does competitive agriculture mean that agriculture can compete with other industries, or it's competitive in comparison to other agricultural sectors in other European countries? Or should our agriculture be competitive on the global agricultural market, or is it all of the above? Or does competitive agriculture mean that we can produce food without seriously damaging the environment, or even by contributing to the welfare of the environment? When we look for answers to these questions, we should also keep in mind that agriculture is not only agriculture, culturing cereals, for example. When we speak about CAP, then we also speak about land improvement, food processing, forestry to a certain extent, the diversification of agriculture within the agricultural sector and also in non-agricultural activities. We also preserve nature. So another question, what is the balance between these different activities? A competitive agriculture does not focus on one activity alone, but must strike a balance between all the different activities. When we speak about a competitive agricultural sector, then we are speaking about the second pillar. The second pillar helps us introduce structural change. It enables innovation. It also allows us to bring higher quality products to the market. So this is why we think that the share of the second pillar should be bigger in the EU than it is. When we look at the agricultural sector and rural development in a broader context, then we see that in order to keep developing during the next program period, Estonia must receive the same level of funding. It's very important for Estonia for the direct payment levels to be compared with the rest of Europe, but we think that this should not be done on account of the second pillar. If we go further and think some more about a competitive agricultural sector, then in order not to get tangled up in just direct payments and other types of support, I would like to give you some examples of what to keep in mind. What are the main tools and instruments? For example, cooperation between entrepreneurs and networking, as was mentioned during the previous discussion session. Short supply chains, leader experience, also financial instruments, simplified costs. I'm sure there are other tools and instruments in order not to just think about the different payments and supports. This is actually the end of my presentation, and I wish you all a fruitful discussion. Thank you, Sigmar. Your presentation was just long and short enough to provoke a discussion, and I would like to comment as well and provoke you some more. Do we need more support and funds for development, or do we need more cooperation and innovation, entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial spirit? Or can we say that we need both?
No.
Yeah.
I think more money oftentimes means that the money is poured into concrete. So more money is actually not a solution. It's a question of where and how to spend it. So what does the audience think? Where should the money be spent? Or rather, what to do in order for agriculture to be competitive? Eha wants to begin. I am Eha Baas. I am from the Estonian village movement, Kotukant. I really liked in the presentation the idea of balance in rural life. The CAP today doesn't deal with just agriculture and agricultural production. It also touches on a plethora of other subjects. And I think when we are talking about competitive agriculture, we also have to talk about a competitive rural area. We have to talk about whether there are jobs in the countryside. And right now it is clear that jobs can be created in the countryside, first and foremost through micro businesses, through small enterprises. And so I think that this is an area where new programs and new funding should be directed. The second aspect of competitivity is having people live in the countryside, and people there need jobs. In our development program today, we have the village centers that are being developed. And I think it is very important that these centers and small enterprises, they should have access to knowledge on the spot. In Estonia, we have community development constituents who should be able to give information to these local centers, call local people to entrepreneurship, to innovation. However, this is a process that is lagging a bit because those who are meant to advise, they are not being funded right now. So what I would like to do is to call for a balance. I think agriculture is very important, and those villages where production is being done, they are very happy. They are very lucky, rather. And I think this is something, this is a key to competitivity. Would you like to comment, or should we take more comments from the audience? The audience, please. If you have good ideas, then of course you can speak again. And they don't have to be necessarily even really good ideas, they just have to be ideas. I already introduced myself, Raul Rosenberg, from the Rural Development Foundation. I think Europe as such is struggling in terms of competitivity in agriculture. The first thing is we have to be competitive on the labor market. The agricultural sector has to be able to pay wages to get employees. So what we have now is a shortage of skilled labor because the wages are small and nobody wants to work in the area. However, when it comes to the EU competitiveness, this is an issue that also determines our competitiveness in the field of agriculture. And here we have to look at societal organization. The expenses that come from this, from health insurance, for example, social insurance, environmental costs, and so on, that most countries outside of the EU don't have to bear as much. It's a question of protecting the market. However, if we want to burden, if we intend to burden our economies with such expenses in the future, then I can't imagine the EU agriculture being competitive in on the worldwide scale in the future as well, because production in other countries is so much less expensive. And second, the CAP funds that we have, we have thought that these funds could be used to fund environmentally friendly production. For example, manure silos, investing into the welfare of birds. So all these kinds of things should be also kept in mind. So if producers, for example, have new responsibilities that bring new expenses, then these could also be compensated somehow. Of course, where does the money come from? It comes from taxes and from other sectors. So it's clear that there are no simple solutions, because European societies have taken on the responsibility of also caring for the citizens in a social area. And competition in Europe is rather stiff. Thank you. Any other ideas? Jan Serra, Estonian Farmers Federation. I am in agreement with Janus. However, when we talk about agriculture and competitivity, then I think everyone knows that in Europe, competition is not entirely balanced and fair. This is something that everyone from the new 10 European Union countries know. We know that the differences between the support is about 5 to 7 times. And we saw the figures here earlier when it comes to main agricultural products in Estonia, for example. We have a lot of imports. Most of our pig meat, for example, is imported. And why? Because it's less expensive when it comes from outside. And why is it less expensive? Because these other countries get more support than we do. So when we talk about solidarity between EU member states, then certainly this was not something that's going to happen in a few years. For that to happen, support has to be solidarity. It has to follow the principles of solidarity as well.
In my first intervention, I spoke about redefining the system of funding. I noticed that there were two interventions, one by leading speaker Sigmar Su, and it's still there, widening research. So funding must go to widen the research. That's one of the points that I think the EU should address the money towards. The other thing is, I represent the cooperatives. It's a different sector, which it seems that no one talks about it, even in Bulgaria, in Sofia, when we were there. Ehabas, if I'm not mistaken, mentioned the micro. The cooperatives are micro businesses. and funding must go towards the micro, we should strengthen them. In fact, in my opinion, the funds should go to strengthen the cooperatives, not the individuals in the cooperatives. The funding must go to the producer organization, not 100% to the farmer. Why? You just mentioned the 3% education. We think approximately that in Malta, about 20% of the farmers are educated in agricultural farming. It's not writing and reading education we're talking about. But that 20%, if we dissect it, there's about, I believe, not more than 2% of those farmers who are young. So the aims of the funding, I mean my second point, should go towards youth training and education. The real thing behind it all is because the youths are the grassroots of the future. If we're talking about the future, we must talk about our children, our youths. Otherwise, we need not talk about competitiveness. We need not talk about if we're competing with other EU countries or with other countries, let's say China and any other place. Education, I also want to highlight sort of the importance of youth exchange. That's another place where we can, you know, vote and put funds. If there's no youth exchanges between the countries, they will remain like the rurals, all countries isolated one from each other. If we get to open up this incentive of youth exchange, most probably the future will be brighter than it is today. So if we click these three things together, that is research, education, and training, I mean, these three things must absorb most of the funds in the future. Otherwise, it is hopeless to keep on saying that we need to find the most flexible way to improve, and on the other hand, so that each country keeps its own identity without harming the future society, both for farmers, production of food, food safety, and all that. Thank you.
I would like to give some statistics now. The same percentage that was 3 in Bulgaria, for example. In Estonia, at least 6.3% of farmers have agricultural education. Thank you to our colleague from Malta, who brought in the topic of cooperatives, also the topics of education, research, and innovation. And the youth, of course, if the youth don't take over, then there is no point in talking about competitivity or a future. But I understand there is something else you want to add.
That 6.3%, that the answer, 63%, the ages of them, how many of them are below 30 years old? That's the big problem.
Kui me siit seda kohe ei leia, aga mul on meeles niiviisi, et ühe uuringu järg ikkagi üle 50% praegu tegev põllu.
I don't know the exact figure, but I know that there was research done that about approximately over 50% were over the age of 50. We also have a very good agricultural university that is working very well. However, the students there aren't learning agricultural subjects that much. A good example of this is that agronomy specialization, this is something that hasn't been opened as a field of study for 5 years because there are too few people. Another problem is that the people who study here go to Nordic countries to work because the wages are higher. So how can we raise competitiveness?
I didn't introduce myself last time, but now I am Jaake Roodes from the Estonian Farmers Federation. When we speak about youth, then yesterday we had a meeting of the jury for the competition of young farmers. And at least 90% of the applications that were submitted were from young farmers with agricultural education. So agricultural education is popular among the youth. Often it's vocational education. The fact that agronomy or agricultural science specialty cannot be opened at the university is that nobody wants to be an employee. Everybody wants to be the owner of the farm and wants to employ others. But let's leave that at that. In the presentation that we just heard, and I think it was a very intriguing presentation, there was a number, 19,700 agricultural holdings, or actually landowners who apply for support from the CAP policy. About 2,000 of these have over 100 hectares and ...10,000 are those who only own under 10 hectares of land, and the rest are in between. So if we think of the reserve to increase Estonian agricultural competitiveness, then I think we need to target those companies that own 10 to 100 hectares and have not been investing much in recent years, but also smaller landowners, because the smaller holdings usually belong to those people who live in rural areas. Their share is quite small at the moment. And when we think of these two groups of producers, then there is a lot of potential that would enable us to increase competitiveness in major sectors, but to also introduce to the market less attractive products, less known products. The Young Farmers Competition proves that areas like natural herbs, bio fertilizers have become more popular, and these sectors are developing rather well. When we think of these sectors, then there are two keywords. First, something that the previous speaker also mentioned, cooperatives working together. If you don't work together, then you cannot spread information, you cannot be innovative, you cannot find markets. If you are a small producer and you produce small volumes. The second keyword is clusters. For example, the share of fruit on the domestic market is small. So if there are favorable conditions for orchards in certain regions of Estonia, then we should push that production and work together and establish more orchards there. I mean clusters that bring together not only producers, but also applied sciences and local governments and entrepreneurs. So this is an area that we could develop. And when we speak about the opportunities we have in order to make rural life more competitive, then we have to admit that it's not the first CAP pillar that's in the forefront, but the second. The second pillar is the one that creates change. And can bring together know-how so that we could innovate, especially in these areas of activity that are still rather conservative. I think this is the conclusion we can make based on the previous comments. We've taken several comments from the audience. Sigmar, would you like to respond or comment? I agree with most of the comments in principle, and I did touch upon these points in some form or another in my presentation as well. But something that I noted down from the different comments is this age-old question whether we should support small or large entrepreneurs. When we speak about a competitive agricultural sector and speak about Estonia importing cheap goods, then these cheap goods come from extremely large companies. But should we also support these large companies? This leads me to my next question. If we do support them, then will this lead to an improvement in the quality of life and more employment in rural areas? I think not. But there is food for thought here. When we just speak about competitive agricultural sector, which is more important, large entrepreneurs or small entrepreneurs? This leads me to another question. Can we only speak about supports and agricultural competitiveness? Thank you for posing the question. This has been a hot topic in Estonia for years. I'd like to just say that these statistics regarding the holdings over 100 hectares isn't quite true, because there are many companies in Estonia that own thousands of hectares of land, and they have hundreds of heads of dairy cows, or even thousands. And then we have smaller holdings as well. That is the reality, and it is a real dilemma. Who needs more support, more attention? And if we support the large entrepreneurs, does that help the society more or not? The large holdings are PLCs, and their main aim is to make a profit. And when we speak about mammoth size companies that compete on the international market, then their goal is to produce cheap food, but cheap food can never be the highest quality food. So when we speak about Estonian competitiveness, in agriculture, then I would prefer the type of agriculture that is directed at high added value, high quality, and this is what would bring more money back to rural areas. We can participate in the international global race, but I don't think we'd be very successful because we are located in the north. We don't have such a favorable climate and soil that would enable us to get record yields at cheap prices. So, in my opinion, Estonia needs to focus on quality and high added value products. And cooperatives have a very important role in marketing such products and should have a bigger role than they do. So this is my opinion as the moderator. But I also work at the Central Union of Estonian Farmers, so I just took advantage of my position and put in my two cents. But we do have an open mic, and I do see two hands up. My name is Pille Kovet from Agricultural Research Center, and we are working on rural development plan environmental assessment. And I did like Aul Nurme's transition and introduction to my comment. I wanted to remind everybody that when we speak about sustainable rural areas, then we need to look at values in order to take advantage of the potential that we have. I don't think there's any point in competing in mass food production in every sector. We need to look at what we have, considering what direction the CAP is taking. Then the environmental aspect, which is one of the sustainability dimensions, is becoming more and more important. And when we look at what we have, then in rural areas, we have a lot of favorable environment. So we need measures to support the environment and also investments to use our environment in an innovative way in agriculture. Europe at the moment is speaking about sustainable agricultural intensification, which on the one hand would guarantee entrepreneurial development, smaller input and preservation of the environment. How can we guarantee it and in what way? We need to look at the opportunities that nature offers. Functional diversity is also gaining ground in Europe, which means that this diversity is achieved with smaller input and this can be cleaner water, cleaner soil. So I think Estonia should trick the EU and really take advantage of our resources. Estonia should come up with simpler solutions for bettering life in rural areas.
Thank you very much for that great comment. Edwin Nugis. Pille already said everything I wanted to say. But what I would like to say is imagine a situation, and it seems to me that for the moment the situation in Estonia is not normal, but imagine that we want to invent a guitar, we want to play the guitar, And everybody else already has better guitars and better ways of playing. There's no point in us inventing a new guitar. However, maybe we could invent a new instrument that nobody has yet. And maybe we should start playing the songs that nobody else has yet. So this is inventiveness, innovation, in my opinion. And these are the thoughts that I had. Another example, let's imagine a guest comes from the EU and he is running like mad after a crane. He's never seen a crane before in his life. This is a part of our riches, and this is something that we have to use. And I hope that politicians will finally take a look in the mirror, and I hope that they will give us, they will make the right decisions in order for the rural area to be harmonious, in order for it to exist, keep existing. And I will say it again, the key word here is a well-harmonized network. Thank you very much. And just please give me a sign if you want to have a word again. I would like to come back to the idea of supports again. While Kaul Nurm talked about from the point of view of the Central Union of Estonian Farmers, then I can't stay silent. I have to speak from the point of view of the Estonian Farmers Federation. We do have large producers, and about 70% of them are, they produce 70% of our agricultural products. And according to our figures, 20% of producers produce 80% of the products. For example, right now we have 200 dairy producers that produce about 90% of the dairy products. So these big enterprises, these big producers, they also contribute in large part to our export. So from the point of view of the Estonian state, it is important for us to feed our own people. And the percentages right now, they show that these 20%, the larger producers are managing well. And of course, thanks to the EU support, they have technically and scientifically developed quite well. However, when we look at the development and compare it to older EU member states, then the Estonian agriculture ministry, agriculture university, has done research, and they have found that there are still big deficiencies due to the lack of balance between the supports. And if in the coming years we should favor small producers, then I believe that our export share will exponentially grow. And if we take a piece of research as a pane of department from Riga, they looked at diversification in villages and application for supports. And it came out that in those counties where there are strong agricultural producers, application for all kinds of support is much more widespread, of course, than in those counties where there aren't agricultural producers. Any other thoughts from the audience? We are kind of speaking on very different topics here. You may have wanted to speak on this topic yourself. However, according to how I understand, then we have two topics that have kind of floated on the surface. First, production development should be supported. And this would include compensating this investment costs and taking into consideration environmental requirements, etc. And it's clear that the second pillar funds will not be sufficient to pay for everything, especially when it comes to investments. I, on my part, have said to the Ministry of Agriculture that we should use more financial instruments. We should gear funding towards structural changes. We should fund cooperation in urban areas as well that has to do with in the environment, protecting the environment. And when it comes to making production more efficient, for example, new machinery, new tractors, this should also be funded through financial instruments. This is a short summary of what I wanted to say. I would like to draw your attention to the fact that everybody in the audience can comment and ask questions. So even though you don't have microphones in front of you, we can get a microphone to you.
I actually would like to challenge Mr. Rosenberg a little bit, because you know that in the next 3 months in the European Parliament, there will be the fundamental battle for the funds. And you know that it is believed by the Commission that what makes fields of the economy, including agriculture, competitive is research and scientific advance. So how do you think in the European Parliament they can be they can be convinced that the funds for the common agricultural policy should be at least preserved, if not enlarged, and not redirect some of them to what can make European agriculture in general more competitive, that is scientific research and, for instance, the seventh framework program or programs for science and research. I mean, how we can convince the members of the European Parliament that support should go where it is going now and not elsewhere, mm-hmm. to make them more competitive.
Mm-hmm. See ongi keeruline, et ma saan aru, et
this is a complicated topic when it comes to gearing money towards science. In fisheries, for example, in Estonia, it is the scientists themselves who decide how money is used because they say what are the problems that need to be solved. So I think it is very important to involve the people who will get the benefits. When we were talking about farmers and technology, research, innovation, then of course it has to be the farmers who are involved in this process as well. They need to say where the problems lie. For example, there is a company in Estonia called Grunafi. It works. It is owned by Finnish owners. However, it works. It is located near Tartu in the village of Luunja. They grow cucumbers. And what I think is innovative about them is that they don't use any chemical pesticides. They have bugs that eat other bugs, basically. And I think that is very consumer friendly. And I think these are the types of solutions that could be offered up elsewhere as well. And these types of solutions need scientific support. However, the first step has to come from the agricultural producer himself, who says what he actually needs. And I think this would also provide the European Commission with support, or rather a sense of security that money is not being wasted. Thank you. Let's have the research center say something about this. Hi, I am Maiti Talvik. First of all, to the first presentation, how to define innovation. There are several different types of definitions. And if I remember correctly, then when it comes to the CAP, the innovation has been tried to define it as applied knowledge, not created knowledge, but applied knowledge. We talked about the seventh framework program, which has to do with pan-European cooperation networks. We need new knowledge, new products, new solutions for that network. However, from the point of view of a peripheral state in Europe, we also need to see these solutions in practice. We need to see them applied. So in addition to the seventh framework program, we also need local science and local applied science. There was a comment earlier where it was said, I believe it was Bulgaria who said that the situation is similar here as in Bulgaria. Most of the research funding is going into basic scientific research, and when it comes to the applied research, then that is not getting enough funding. And there are new opportunities that have been offered of how CAP funds and the Seventh Framework funds can be combined in order to support the applied scientists more, especially in connection with agricultural production, so that new products can be not only created but also applied. And again, as a comment on the first presentation, innovation can only be judged in hindsight. I work in a research center that deals with plants. And when it comes to innovations, then we can really say that it has brought in a lot of profits to Estonia. When Estonia became independent again from the Soviet Union, then one of the first things that our institute did was to look at wheat that is used to produce and make white bread. Because in the Soviet times, we knew that it was not possible to produce wheat that can be used to make white bread in Estonia. However, now we know that it's not true. And thanks to these qualitative analyses and this research, then now Estonia is producing more high-quality wheat than ever, and we are also exporting it quite a bit. Another example from that same period is rapeseed. 40% of our agricultural producers deal with grains, and wheat and rapeseed are one of their main staples. However, 20 years ago, there were only a few hundred hectares where good quality rapeseed was grown, and just a few, around about 1,000 hectares where good quality wheat was being grown. So these are some practical examples about innovations where knowledge has been applied in agriculture in order to gain profit.
The Estonian agriculture has changed also emotionally because of rapeseed growing. We have these beautiful bright yellow fields of rapeseed. So let's pass the microphone to the back row. My name is Tiina Köster from Agricultural Research Center, and I wanted to give an example where the system where the producer made an R&D proposal worked quite well. There is this association that brings together those producers who do direct sowing, and it's a new technology in agriculture. So they came up with the initiative, and they made the initiative to hold a meeting at the Ministry of Agriculture. And at this meeting, they outline the research questions that they wanted answers to. Also, many research institutions representatives participated in the meeting. And to my great surprise, a couple of months later, one of the research institutes came up with a 5-year research program, and it's received funding. So it's a positive example. I would like to comment on the first presenters and Jõgeva Institute directors' opinions. The first presenter said that we can assess and judge innovation in hindsight, and that innovation always involves risks. The producer is, of course, happy if the risk is alleviated by the research. And then you can already start giving assessments. So I would say that in our context and in general, for the producer, innovation should come from applied research. Any other ideas, points for discussion? Sigmar, would you like to respond to all of these comments and ideas? No. Such good ideas, no need to comment on them any further. But we still have another 5 to 10 minutes to discuss this issue.
I'll fill some blanks. I wish to refer to one of the points that Mr. Sigmar pointed out. In my opinion, it's a very important point, because we try to produce something which is healthy, but unfortunately, at times, it is more expensive. Sigmar noted the importation of cheap goods. And here I need to ask two questions. If the people can't afford it, it's one thing that they buy cheap food. If people are not educated, it's another thing. I give a Maltese example. Pork meat is one of the best in Malta. At one time, even Germany used to import pork meat from Malta in the 1980s and so on. The real thing was that from Malta to Germany, it used to go over, not really frozen. But today, most of the products that the people buy is frozen, and they don't realize, they are not educated, or they don't have the financial power to buy fresh meat. Notwithstanding that, when they are buying frozen meat, when they tow it, most of the time, they lose the value which they are paying for the fresh. More or less, there isn't that much difference. So we have to think about one thing, educating the people once more, not only the farmer, educating the consumer to buy that fresh product, so that he'll know that there's the most essential vitamins and so on in that product. That's one thing. The other thing, you mentioned the PLCs. It's true, the PLCs go for profits. Again, I'll have to mention cooperatives. Cooperatives are the only organizations, as far as I know, which have a social aspect. Apart from getting the gains, the cooperatives, they try to give a service or a produce good enough for the consumer. So that is another point about the social aspect. Unfortunately, cooperatives, it's true, there isn't enough information about them, but in my experience, the past 20, 25 years in cooperatives, I noticed one thing. To tackle the problems, they keep a low profile. And they found out that keeping a low profile was more profitable for some reason. And it works, especially with milk production and the husbandry and malt. It did work. About research, I want to make a clear point. I didn't mean that 100% of the funds must go to the laboratory. I'll stop here. Thank you.
Kas meil on veel mõtte avaldajaid?
Any other ideas, comments? Sigmar. Just a comment regarding meat. Maybe we need to ask ourselves why we freeze meat. It's probably easier and cheaper to transport it. And again, here we could use research and development aside from awareness raising. How can we get the meat from the producer to the consumer, keeping the freshness? And keeping in mind the due dates. I'm reminded of a project that was directed at cooperation with the local university to target meat packaging, to make sure that the meat tastes good when the consumer purchases it. So there is room for cooperation here. Is everybody eagerly awaiting lunch? Our foreign colleague outlined that it's also important to educate local consumers, and so I quickly just wanted to speak about a project that our leader group was involved in. A local small ship headed by a local farmer started a project and organized trainings for consumers regarding the value of local food, why should we consume local food on the spot? So you can start small-scale training projects and education projects yourself as well. I saw a hand up somewhere. When we speak about the competitiveness of agriculture and rural development, then we need to pay attention to something that's been quite topical in the EU in recent years, and that's social farming. I claim that social farming is a sector that has no competition in Estonia, and if we develop it, then small and medium-sized landowners could use the open market quite well. For example, for rehabilitation of people with special needs, for helping large families, offering recreational activities, bringing school children to rural areas. So it is a bit different from rural tourism. Because it would enable to provide long-term rehabilitation services, for example. And we do have a couple of examples like this in Estonia. But this issue is being discussed at quite a high level all over Europe. Because at the moment, social farming is still in the background in Europe. And I think the leader measure could be used primarily to really target social farming in Estonia. And the next period strategies should at least involve the opportunity to involve this area as well. And it would be a good opportunity for small and medium-sized landowners to become more competitive. I know that, this issue is topical in several countries. And I've spoken to a Bulgarian representative about this in Brussels. So this is an issue that really does affect all of us. Would anybody like to add anything else, or shall we go to lunch? Microphone, please. To continue on the same topic of finding alternatives in employment. Out of these 19,000 people employed in agriculture, if we recalculate it into full-time work, then it's just 6,000 jobs. So the income doesn't allow full employment, or that the production output is so small, the volumes are so small. So in order to diversify activities and offer new alternative services, I think we should really target social farming. And I personally do have experience from the Netherlands, where agricultural producers do provide rehabilitation services as an additional service. Thank you. Kaja, you didn't mention one of your favorite topics, that the farmers can offer environmental services as well, and this is done in Estonia. For example, maintaining natural resources. This is another important activity that helps keep rural areas vital and viable. But now we need to wrap up this session. And I would like to invite you to enjoy Estonian food. Just outside the hall. So after lunch, we'll all be much sleepier, I'm sure. But I still hope to see all of you back here. And hopefully, you'll be able to direct some of the blood to your brain so that we can keep discussing. So, bon appetit, or in Estonian we say jätku leiba, which means I hope you have enough bread.